Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Genres, Shade's music ranges from Afro-soul and conscious alternative R&B to neo-soul and contemporary R&B. Her most recent work includes a variety of singles and accompanied music videos. Her EP, Time, Love, Journey, came out in late October 2020 with over 50,000 streams within its first 2 weeks. Now, she's here today with me to have a chat about music, life, COVID-19, and her future music projects.
It's so nice to see you.
You as well.
Congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
My condolences about your dad. He seemed like such a really good person.
Thanks. He was a really good guy. It was a huge shock for us. It's definitely 2021 has definitely been highs and lows of emotions for sure. Just like really excited and really sad at the same time. But yeah, at least I know he's in a better place. He's away from all the madness in this world. So
that's good. that's the best way to look at it. Yeah. I hope you've been okay riding the highs and the lows.
Yeah, trying to. Like I started going for therapy. That's been really
good.
I know. We need to normalize that in the Black culture for sure.
We do.
Yeah.
We also need to subsidize that fee, but we'll get there.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Actually, I was talking to someone about that, and she said that there is like a subsidized fee, apparently, from the government. But it's not fixed for like, you know, an extended period of time. It's just like, oh, maybe they give you like two free sessions or something. And then after that, you have to pay for it. I'm like, mental health should be free, in my opinion.
In my opinion, like, mental health, too. Yeah. Like, yeah. It should just be there. And I should just, like, the same way I go into the clinic for a consultation or something to, like, just tell you what's up and everything. You want to tell the people about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Shade Awele, or my artist name is Shade Awele, which is also my name. I don't know why I said my artist name, because it is my name. I am a singer, songwriter, producer, engineer, entrepreneur, creative. Okay. I wear many hats and I love what I get to do. And I am just living life and doing the best I can.
That's really cool. I didn't know that you were a producer and an engineer.
The producing part has been very recent. I tried my hands on that last year for the first time for my EP. I'm definitely a novice in comparison to like people who've been doing it for like a long time. But it's something that I had been wanting to dabble into, but I was a bit scared because I was like, oh, like, shouldn't you be a certain standard? And then basically in talking to other producers, they're just like, well, what do you hear? Like, what are the things that you want in your song? Like, what are the sounds that come to you? And that's basically you trying to produce your own music. Like, think beyond just songwriting and just start to challenge yourself in what you hear and put that down. And so that's what I did with Take It Easy, like the starting points
that's
of
actually
that.
My favorite song.
and also with Peak as well, while collaborating with another producer. And it was really good. Like, it definitely challenged me, made me think differently about the things that I listened to, because initially by default I was paying more attention to my vocals and the songwriting, and now it forces me to, like, each time I listen to the song, I'm like, okay, now I want to pay attention to the horns. Like, what do I want to hear? Okay, now I'm paying attention to the guitar. Like, what do I want that to sound like? And it's great. It's a new experience and I love it. So yeah, that's the producing side.
That's cool. I also, I'm just starting out, like, really novice, but I also really wanted to go into, like, the technical and producing and engineering part of, like, sound and music, because I'm also in film and animation, and that's, like, part of the reason I got this job, because I was like, oh, I'm so interested. So it's really to me to, like, meet, like, other people who, like, produce, who aren't, like, just, like, guys, like, because that's the demographic usually. And and you know, it's not always, like, super approachable or nice guys. So it's nice to see that the diversification with you. Like, I have a friend as well who's also trying, she's learning. I also recently got introduced to another producer, and she's great. Like, she works with a friend of mine who has a band, and so it's just nice. And I'm really happy that you're part of, you know, that little diversification going on.
Honestly, you're so right, like, when you say that a lot of these guys aren't very approachable, because I find that because they almost feel entitled to their position, because they know that, okay, like, they feel that they're at the advantage many times, and so they can talk however they want, treat you however they want. It takes a while to, like, find the right producers many times, or the right engineers, or even, like, get them to understand, like, the message that you're trying to pass across. I find that sometimes some of them, they like to treat women almost like they're teaching them what to do. Like,
oh, my goodness. Yes. And, you know, something actually happened to me like that. Like, I was, because this was when I just first started out, and I was asking, I don't know what I was asking, but I was asking a question. And then they were like, oh, that's so dope that you're interested in that. Not many girls or women are interested in, first of all, they said girls, they didn't say women. So not many girls are interested in that. And I was just like, no, because being someone who does want to, like, eventually produce stuff and, you know, learn engineering, I did look for, like, women who are already producing their stuff. And there's, like, so many people. It's just, you know, maybe because when people say producers, they usually talk about, like, trap and, like, rap. You're not looking at them. You know, there's Chloe Bailey. I mean, there's you. I think he only had one example, and it was, like, this one producer who I also know, but I can't remember her name right now. And she, I think she produces mostly, like, rap songs. And Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. And sometimes I think, I was talking to somebody the other day and I was like, well, you know, I think producers are like the, you know, people who code, like programmers.
Yeah.
Programmers of like the music industry, just because
yeah.
it's kind of like that same, I don't want to say barricade, but like mm-hmm. kind of like that same glass ceiling-ish thing going on.
Yeah, it definitely is. And what I'm finding is the best results have always been the opportunities where you're either able to work with that producer really closely to create a sound that is very similar to what you want and what you imagine. And then, you know, the mixing and the mastering comes after that. Because, yeah, and that's that also requires finding someone who's willing to do that. Because a lot of times, I think because of the way the industry was created, a lot of women weren't encouraged in that space. And I feel like I've become more comfortable trying to become more comfortable in that space. And that what has actually helped me do that is engineering a little bit, because I've had to be around a lot of men all the time working with them. And many times a lot of them would try to intimidate me, similar thing to like what you said, like, you know, calling you, calling you a girl, or like saying weird things like, oh, stay pretty, or trying to hit on you, or just like things that just started to disqualify you, who you are. And, you know, over time, you sort of like build that confidence so that no one can just talk to you anyhow. And I feel like that I've carried that confidence with me into my music, and just being like, you know what, like, there's no, like, I'm going to try and be as confident as I can to say the things that I want. Mm-hmm. And if that requires me doing it by myself, then I'm going to learn and really push myself and hopefully find the right people who would be willing to teach me if I ever need to be taught. But it takes a while, man. Like, I just find like so many people, and some guys too, they just like it when you need them. It's kind of disturbing.
It is very disturbing. It is. No, because I have a thing, like, I'll know something, but maybe a word will just slip out of my head. And so I'll maybe say the wrong thing when I mean something else. So maybe I'll say reverb, but I don't mean reverb, but I'm hearing something that kind of feels like reverb to me. And maybe mm-hmm. I'll say that, and they're like, the reverb's still in there. And I'm like, well, then explain it, then teach it to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something that, you know, because if when I'm writing songs, because I write songs like very technically, because I'm an English major, and so I write songs like poetry, like I want to, like, all the meter and all the rhymes and everything, I'm really like, I'm like anal about it. Like,
oh my god, I should do songwriting with you.
Yes, please. No. And so when they ask me for help, I try my best to explain. When I start using terms that are just honestly sometimes technical for no reason, I break it down. I'm like, okay, in like simply put, it's just like these many syllables are here, and so we can put this many syllables in the second line or in the third line. A random number of syllables, and then because you want to say this many words, try and fit it, you know.
Yeah.
And they understood, and we moved forward, and I'm just like, so why don't we have that kind of energy when girls and women are like, oh, I don't understand. It's like, oh, you don't understand, you're not born with the knowledge. And I'm like, were you?
For real.
Did you pop out of, you know, like, oh, I know how to mix and stuff? No, you learned.
And
you rode coattails, and it's a bit stressful when you're trying to ride someone's coattails and they think you're either unserious or they think that you're trying to flirt with them. And I'm like, no.
Oh, man.
I like music, and I would like to learn. This has happened to me since secondary school. I know this struggle.
Yeah, I always know when it's like I'm working with someone and I'm like, oh, it's about to go there. He's about to hit on me. All right, okay, I'm done. So next
person.
Oh, man, it's like, and sometimes you might have just finished like an amazing track, and then all of a sudden they just decide to start hitting on you, and it's just like, ugh. Anyways,
I would like to work with you again, but this is not a conducive.
This is just, exactly, this is just not it for me. Man, props to us, though. Props to us women for still trying to push regardless. Like, yeah. I think that's something that I want to see more of for sure. More female producers and just us being confident, because that was a big thing for me. Like, I remember talking to a producer and he was like, Shade, many times you know your stuff, but you're not confident. So like, you're always second guessing. So maybe you want to talk about something and you'd be like, I think. You don't have to start with I think. Like, when it's a guy talking, they're not starting with like, I think.
Yeah.
Or talking very softly so that, you know, just in case you mess up, not everyone hears you. But it's like, they come out, even when they don't know what they're talking about, they still say it's confidence.
The confidence is sometimes funny, but it's like, I aspire.
Yeah, yo, it's crazy, man. So that's something that I've definitely been taking on, just being like, nope, just be confident about what you want. I remember I was songwriting with someone else, because I play the guitar as well. So I was writing a song and, you know, I was playing the guitar and he was also playing the guitar. And we were going through like, okay, the structure and things like that. And right away, it was one of those things where like, you know how sometimes if you're writing a song, sometimes you just know where the song is supposed to go. And sometimes it's a lot more than someone else. But I was starting to realize that like, he wasn't trusting my direction that I was taking it. And it was almost like he kept trying to insist on the direction that he was taking it on his guitar. And I was just like, well, I mean, I don't feel like it should sound this way. But I realized that it was getting to a point where it was starting to become a bit argumentative. So I was like, I'm just going to chill and let's just record our individual things. Like, you record yours, I record mine, we'll compare and then pick. And then I think even from doing that, he realized that, oh, okay, yeah, this, what she did is a lot better. But it was just like that initial conflict and pushback made me wonder, like, it's something that I've seen a lot of guys do. It's like when the lady is confident about something, then they also push you back, almost like, well, no, like, I should be the one telling you like how it should be done. And just having that confidence, it's funny how when you try to show it, you still get that pushback. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's funny. It definitely is. But I would still prefer to be confident more than not saying how I feel about a track or a song, because then I'll regret it. And then I'll look back and be like, well, that's not even how I wanted the song to sound.
Exactly. I feel the same way. Sometimes it's like, oh, but like, you're being stubborn. And I'm like, well, okay, but
yeah,
it's like, okay, but you know, because it's different if you're like working on somebody else's thing, you know, then it's like, okay. But like, I feel, and I don't think a lot of people like know this, and I don't think a lot of people like internalize this and like, you know, use it to be assertive. But if it's like your project and like your work, then, you know, you should insist, you should be stubborn.
Yeah.
Air quotes, you should be disagreeable. And honestly, the worst thing that can happen in a situation like that is that you maybe those specific people or that person wouldn't want to work with you again. But honestly, if you had to be so assertive that, you know, it happened enough times that people start think you're stubborn, maybe, you know, those people are the problem. Maybe you shouldn't be working with those people. And there's like so many, there's so many different people. And I just feel like that's a good thing with like creative stuff. And just especially I find with like music.
Yeah.
Film as well. Whatever hangups people have about the assertiveness, this other stubbornness, kind of falls to the wayside once they see like the full vision, if that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so true. Once they see the full vision, they're like, oh, that's where she was trying to go. And I find that it also has to do with the person as well. Many times in their head, for whatever reason, they think that by you telling them what to do, that you're discrediting their abilities and what they can do, and basically say that what they're doing isn't good enough. And it's like, well, no, it's not necessarily that it's not good enough. Like, maybe it could be better. In some cases, or sometimes it's just what you hear. Like, as the artist, sometimes it's just something that you hear, and your name is going to be on that thing. Like, primarily, your voice is going to be on that thing. So, at the end of the day, when someone's looking back, you know, unless you're like a Timberland or like a Pharrell, like, they're going to be like, this is Shade Awele's song. Like, it's, you know, so it's just being able to, the more we can be assertive about the things that we want and get the results that we want, then at least we start to feel more true to like our sound, ourselves. And, but it's a process. It's a process. Because I can imagine if I was in a room with like someone like Timberland or Pharrell, how open would I be about the things that I want?
You know what I actually think? I think that Timberland and Pharrell would actually be really sweet people just from what I've seen on the Instagram. Who I would be a bit, you know, like maybe I should Beyoncé. Beyoncé and Jay-Z. Have you ever heard like Chloe and Haley talk about like Beyonce just like a little bit, and like because Haley doesn't know how to hide anything, so she's just like, yeah, we sent it back so many times. Like Chloe's all smiles, but Haley's like, I'm tired of this woman. It was so funny, but I digress.
No, but it's so true. Like Beyonce is one of my like idols for sure, and like, what day was it? I think after she got that extra Grammy on Sunday, I was watching a lot of videos about her and the things that she's very adamant about. And she was talking about how working with her requires a lot of patience because she can go through something like over and over and over and over. She could, it could even be something like as small as a line. And she's just going to keep going over it again and again until it gets to the point that she's imagining in her head. And I'm just like, damn, girl.
And she does it with like everything, like the dance, the visuals, the music,
choreography, music, like the whole nine yards. It's admirable for sure. Like there are only very few people in the world that can do that, like at that level right now. It's crazy.
At some point you just like but Beyonce is Beyonce. That's why she's a compliment, like the name.
Exactly. Okay.
So your EP, Time, Love, Journey, what was the reception? What was the process like? We talked a lot about producing and like with different people. And you know, 50K, baby girl. that's a feat.
I know. I was really surprised. Like I was like, oh, that's cool. So when I started working on the EP, I think there were a lot more songs that I had planned to put out. Like at first I was like, oh, maybe I'll make it an album. And then later on I was like, oh, maybe I'll just make it an EP of a few songs that I like. I started working on it just before the pandemic hit because my music is a blend of Afro soul, R&B, a little bit of neo soul, jazz inspired, and Afro soul, R&B, neo soul, jazz inspired. Afrobeats. So it's all within that Afro R&B, you know, realm. A lot of times one song could sound slightly different from the other, but then once combined all together, you're like, okay, I can see how this artist is going from like one place to the next with her music. I wanted it to be as vulnerable as possible, talking about like my own experiences, not just like making things up for that particular EP. And I wanted it to be sort of like a compilation of my thoughts, just like put out on paper for the things that some of them, they were thoughts that I had been thinking about like years ago. Like Rebound is a perfect example of that. Like it happened like years ago and I only got to like write about it recently, like the experience of being a Rebound. And then Peak is like sort of like an ongoing thing of just trying to be like the best that I can be. So it's just combining all those things, and Peak and Take It Easy are kind of related to each other because Take It Easy is also sort of talking about just like enjoying the process of whatever you're doing. It's like, and that's why it goes like, take it easy, take it slow, we've got so far to go. So that's why I use it as the intro, because I was like, okay, it's sort of like symbolic of having far to go in the EP because there's more to listen to. And then it's also symbolic of just like life, like take it easy and just enjoy life. So anyway, so yeah.
One of my favorites, I already say that.
Yay.
Like it's really chill, it's really like,
yeah.
It does the thing that you want it to do.
For me, that's good. I'm happy. I'm very happy about that. Yeah, so basically the process for me started off with just freestyling. Some of the instrumentals, like the one with No Love Lost and Care, I already had the instrumentals for that because I work with my brother. So he produced those two. And so I was like, okay, this gives me a sense of where I want to go. And then a lot of times I just freestyle. So I just started freestyling. Like Take It Easy was like a full-on freestyle. I opened up my Logic, started freestyling, like my vocals, trying different things. I had different versions of it. And then I started putting like little snippets of like what I thought thought I wanted the bass to sound like or the guitar to sound like and the horns. And then I was just like playing around with it for a little bit, being like, okay, I kind of like where this is going. So it was very random. It's like there was no fixed structure on how I was going with the songs. I just knew that I wanted it to be a true representation of the type of music that I write and who I am. I wanted the experiences to be my experiences. And I wanted the flow to be nice, like from one song to the next. And then I also wanted a variation, like live instruments, like Take It Easy, but then produced tracks like No Love Lost, and then like a hybrid like Peak, and I wanted to work with different people. So there was a lot of like checklists that I was gratefully able to achieve with it, and I was very happy about the success of it and how people felt about it and the songs that they related to, the songs that spoke to them. Like I had people telling me how like Rebound reminded them of like an ex that really hurt their feelings or something like that. And I had people sing like, oh, Care is just like a feel good song that they can listen to on a drive or something like that. And like a lot of people were gravitating towards Peak and Take It Easy.
No Love Lost. I think that's the one. The one with They Think You've Changed, I think.
That was my
second. I was like trying when I was like writing the I was like, oh, which one do I say is my favorite? I was like, yeah, I probably can say both.
That was another one. I really love performing that one live as well. But yeah, that was definitely another one that was definitely me being like, oh, they say I'm different now, but I never changed. Because I remember feeling like when I first started, right? Well, I've done different types of, I've written different genres of music. And I'm at a place now where I just write whatever's in my heart, whatever I'm inspired to write in the moment, I would write. So it could be any genre, literally, as long as I'm inspired to write it, I'll do it. And so there was an era where I was writing more gospel than anything else I had written. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was, unfortunately, that was like a very judgmental space as well, which is ironic. And I think it was just because like a lot of people were keeping up with appearances and like just, I just felt like it wasn't a true representation of like who they should have been, if that makes sense. Like it's like, oh, you're writing about one thing, but your attitude sucks. Like you as a person is just so terrible. So I couldn't reconcile those two. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this by myself. If I ever wanted to write gospel music, it would just be from my heart and true to who I am, and not like, you know, trying to keep up appearances, but then behind closed doors, you're this like crazy person. So that was like
a very specific example, Shade.
What's that?
I thought that sounds like a very specific
Yo, I was just like, man, the amount of judgment. But anyways, God loves them all. But so then after that, I found that when I started writing like my own songs, like the type of things that I wanted to write, I was getting a bit of like backlash, like just sort of like side eyes from like, oh, so like you're not like really doing like gospel stuff anymore, okay, kind of thing. And for me, I was like, I remember having conversations with different people and being like, look, I'm writing based on how I'm inspired. And I feel like a lot of times, like, people put limits on like what God can inspire people to write, like, because that's based on their own understanding. But like God can inspire someone to write rock, to write like indie music, to write R&B, to write like trap. Like it can be anything. It's like, it's just because it doesn't sound the way that you want it to doesn't mean that it's not, that it's not good music. Yeah. So that's the place that I got to. And I was like, yeah, like if you're gonna like backlash me for that, then that's your problem. That has nothing to do with me. And so that's kind of like where that song actually came from. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing with change. A lot of things change when you change.
Oh, yeah. A lot of things change. Yeah. And it's like some people will rock with you and just be like, yo, I love what you do. Keep doing it. Some people would be like, oh, who is your bitches? I don't know where that voice came from.
No. That's an accurate representation of the voice.
Exactly. Yeah, but you know, it is what it is. I think it's most important to be like true to who you are, and that's what I strive to be. Like I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna hide who I am, and if I'm inspired to write something, I'm gonna write it, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't fall in line with like what someone else's ideals might be, because for someone else they might be like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed to hear.
Exactly.
And I remember like speaking to someone one time, and she was like, there was a song I had put out. This was like last, you know, 2 years ago. It's called Apple Pie. And she was telling me how like she struggles with anxiety and that this is one of the songs that she loves to listen to because it calms her down. And I was just like, oh my God, wow. Like I almost cried like hearing that. Cause for me, it was just like, this is exactly why I do it. Like, it's just being able to like reach people wherever and just like connect with them on that level was really, really special to me. And for me, that comes from being true to who you are. And that comes from just being genuine and not being afraid to like write what's coming from your heart, because you just never know where it's gonna end up, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was really cool.
I was gonna ask you about, do you have a favorite song from the whole thing, from the EP?
From the EP, I think the favorite one I like performing live is No Love Lost for sure, because it just has this like, dum, 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 and I love the way the bass goes on that. I enjoy that a lot. The one that I enjoy listening to is probably Take It Easy, to be honest. Yeah, it's probably Take It Easy that I enjoy listening to the most. I also really like listening to Care as well. I really listened to that a lot after putting it out, and I was just like enjoying it, how it sounded like. And then, well, there's some things when I listen back, I'm like, I would have done some things differently. But the one that I listen to that I don't feel that way is Take It Easy. So, yeah.
Those my favorites correctly.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who've just been like, yo, I have a friend who like every time we talk on the phone, almost every single time she'll sing like Take It Easy. I'm like, oh. It's like, you're so sweet. Yeah, that's good.
Friends are there and like supportive and stuff.
Yeah, it really helps. It really helps for sure. Yeah.
We'll be right back with the rest of Renosha Lama's interview with Sade here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. For now, this is Care by Sade Oele. Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And now we're going to go back to Onosha Lama's interview with Sade. Enjoy.
Good. Awesome.
I'm in my zone. I read on your website that you're inspired by your Yoruba and Igbo heritage. Did you want to talk more about that?
Like how absolutely how it inspires me. That
so yeah, my dad is Yoruba, my mom is Igbo, and
the Yoruba culture, Oyo State, western part of Nigeria.
Yes.
Eastern part is or like more of south, I guess, is the Igbo side. And both cultures are very strong. They are part of one of the primary, as you know, because you're Igbo, right?
No, yeah. No, but everyone thinks I'm Igbo.
You're Igbo? Oh!
Yeah. Oh, no, wow. It happens. It happens with everybody in my family. Like, sometimes people start speaking Igbo and we're just like...
Oh, wow. Because, like, even your face, like, you have, like, an Igbo... I thought you were Igbo this whole time. Wow, no, that's crazy.
Both my parents are actually Edo, too, so...
Wow. That's crazy. That's cool. That's so, so cool. So on my dad's side, his forefathers came from a place that was actually called like the House of Drummers. And his dad, for a while before his dad moved to Lagos, lived in this house. And the house was filled with all these musicians that would go out and they would drum at different events and things like that. And that was like a huge part of their culture. Mm-hmm. And Yoruba itself is a very musical language and has a lot of tonations and accents that actually follow that drum pattern as well, or bass pattern. And exactly.
I didn't.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then there's the talking drum as well, which also replicates the language. And a person who's actually really good with the talking drum, you can almost understand what they're saying. And I remember, like, when my brother was getting married, my eldest brother, we had the wedding in Nigeria, and these drummers were brought from the exact place that my grandfather grew up, and these drummers were like drumming his name and stuff, and I was like losing my mind. I was like, I need to sample this. Where is my laptop? I need to sample this for music. So that has played a huge part in my life, because I noticed how it influenced my dad to be musically oriented. And though he didn't study music, because of him, we got to listen to a vast array of different types of music, which influenced our understanding of it, our interpretation of it, and so on. So we grew up being like a very, very musical family. And then my brother produces as well. So, and my younger brother now writes songs. So it's just like, it's a part of us. It runs in our blood, is what I always say. And then on the Igbo side, it's not more of the music per se, but it's more of that heritage and understanding of like where we're from that carries us, or that we take with us in our understanding of like our life. Like, it gives this extra confidence of just knowing like this is exactly where I'm from. And I spent a lot of time with like my grandparents growing up on my mom's side, and just getting a sense of like the Igbo culture and the things that they do on that side, whether it's with like, there were always these like village meetings that were had, and yeah, just how communal that they are. And just like influenced my sense of community, my sense of belonging, and that confidence kind of carries on like as I write music. Like, I write it from an understanding of like, what I guess what I'm trying to say is that even though I've lived in a few places, so even though I can in some senses be a nomad, at the same time, because of my understanding of my upbringing on both sides, the deep understanding of it, it carries with me, like it gives me that confidence when I write that I always want to have that influence in my music and in the things that I say. And I want to even learn the languages a little better so that I can include it in my songwriting a lot more than I do right now. I added like a little bit here and there, little words here and there, but I would love to even go to the next level and really put that into the music, because I think it's powerful. And I think that that culture needs to be preserved, you know, from one generation to the next, because it's our story, it's our history. So, yeah.
That's so sweet. I think so too. Very soon you'll be making songs like Asha and like all Yoruba.
Oh, gosh. Yes, like, I love.
She's so great, isn't she?
She's so great. I'm like, apparently apparently the type of Yoruba that she speaks is like a deep version as well. That's like a type of dialect as well, apparently. And just like, man, the way she sings it, her tonations, the quality of her voice, just everything. I'm a fan. Like, I'm a huge fan. My dad actually introduced me to Asha.
Yeah.
It was from him that I learned about her. When the Jailer album first came out and we went on a road trip. And he played it the entire trip. And it was just like, he loved it so much. And we all did. And like, whenever he would blast music in the car, like he would put it on like the highest. I would just be listening to it. And you're just lost in your own thoughts. And I was just like, wow, this is a Nigerian artist. Like, it was really cool to see someone like her evolve at the time that she did, you know? Yeah, so talented, man. Yeah.
I remember really liking her because she was one of the first people that like she was obviously Nigerian and she was obviously showcasing that, but it wasn't like, it was different and it was a different, you know, recognize and like that I wanted to like reconcile myself with. But yeah, she's really good. I didn't do well in my Yoruba classes in secondary school, but I know quite a few lines from Asha's songs. So
That's funny. Oh man. Yeah, no, I did do one Yoruba course and I don't remember how I did in it though, but it was like beginner, like teaching you the alphabet. So like, it's nothing that tasking, but I think out of all the different languages I've learned, French was probably the one that I knew the best at one point, but Yoruba, Igbo, Yoruba, I understand. Like if someone's speaking to me, I understand, but I just don't know how to like, I don't always know how to respond in the right way. So that's what I want to learn.
Books are a really good way to kind of just, well, I mean, people, like somebody who speaks the language just like constantly talking at you is good too. But if you're just, someone who likes to sit at home, like me, books are really good. I remember I didn't really know, out of all like the Wazobia language, like Yoruba, Hausa, and Igbo, I think Igbo was one of the ones that I interacted with the least. But then I started reading like, a lot of Chimamanda. And so like I knew little things. And I had a friend in secondary school, like, because I changed secondary schools. In my first secondary school, I actually got into Igbo. And she just kind of like, I actually had one in the first secondary school and another in the second secondary school. And they were just very, you know, intentional with their use of their language. So they would speak it all the time.
Wow.
And so if you didn't like understand, then you didn't understand what she was saying. She wasn't going to repeat it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, if you want to learn.
Exactly. I definitely feel like there are ways to learn for sure. And like, and I think that's why I started putting in little bits of Yoruba, little bits of Igbo in my songs, but I really want to like take it up a notch. And that's such a good idea, because before people were saying, oh, maybe I should go the route of watching movies, but I find that watching the movies, it doesn't quite get it. It doesn't quite stay. I'm like, okay, yeah, like I understand what they're saying, but like I want to be able to take the words and write it in a certain way and be like, okay, this is how I want to use it in a song kind of thing. So books might be the way to go.
I can,
or a Yoruba dictionary or something.
That too. So for school, I think Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart is pretty good, but also Chimamanda's, like any Chimamanda book is actually good for like just, she has a lot just thrown in there. Not like extensive, but enough for you to like, you know, see words and like write them down. And I think Yoruba, Wole Soyinka's, this is actually a play. It's actually really pretty. I always recommend this play to everyone. Death and the King's Horseman. Wole Soyinka has a bit of a intellectual meanie. So he didn't provide the translations, but his editor, who is nicer, has the translations to hold back. And they have like, a lot of like call and answer songs in the play. So I think you get like the text with the translations, like they're just at the back. And so that's something that like, you know, would be good.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope. Thanks for telling me that. Now I have homework to do. I'm excited. I'm going to look it up.
I wanted to know how COVID-19 affected you and everything. Because I know Time Love Journey came out last year. And then I know there was a bit of a lull in the music community. But everyone's still putting out music. Just like when you put out music, you usually want to perform, but then you couldn't perform.
Yeah, exactly. It was a shock for me at the start of the year when the pandemic hit, because I had so many plans for festivals that I was going to perform at, different shows that were lined up. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the year. And then COVID hit, and show after show, I would get an email, sorry, we have to postpone. Sorry, we're just going to cancel till further notice, like things like that. And it was very discouraging. Like at the start, like I think the shock of everything that was going on in the world and the uncertainty combined with like just not having a lot of those shows, I found myself just being on a standstill. Like I don't think I was even writing music. I just kind of like took a break. I was just like, okay, I need to clear my, especially in March and April, I was like, okay, I need to like clear my head, figure out what's going on. I still want to do this EP thing. At this point, I'd already recorded two of the songs, I think, at this point. And I was already in the works for the others. So then I was like, okay, what's the best course of action? Like, do I just stop? Like, you know, because at this point, no one really knew what was going on or how badly this disease was being transferred from one person to the next. So I wasn't seeing anybody or talking to anybody like in the music industry, like as much. It was a weird time for sure. And then slowly I started to see other people doing things like having live shows like on Instagram. And so I joined that bandwagon and just like started doing like interviews with other artists, just getting a sense of like what they were doing. And I just stayed a part of the community as much as I could virtually, just to get a sense of like what other people were doing. And I found that it was a bit therapeutic for me as well, because I was like, okay, apart from like my fiance, I wasn't seeing a lot of human beings around and stuff on a regular basis, and then working from home. So it was just too many changes. And so eventually when I started to see, I think it was when I started seeing other people putting out music and other people still finding ways to create, it gave me some confidence that, you know what, this is still needed. Because there was a lot, you know, even apart from COVID, there was also the rise of Black Lives Matter in a huge way. And then end SARS towards the end of the year, like, gosh, 2020, man,
yeah,
that's too much. That's too much.
But that was, what's that word? That T word, tumultuous time. Like, it was a stressful time for everybody. Especially with NSARS, because I think like died down, and then all of a sudden NSARS.
Yeah. I just remember like the Independence Day came along and no one was really talking about Nigerian independence. And I was like, this is different. Like, what's going on? And then just like maybe a few days after independence was the first protest out at the Lekki toll gate.
Yeah. Close to like VI, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they had a lot more, of course, like around the city of Lagos. And even after that in other places like Port Harcourt and stuff like that. But it was just, it was a lot to take care of, like, or to like deal with like emotionally. And so all of those things that were happening made me wonder like if it was like a good time. Because I remember like the EP came out literally in the middle of the NSARS protest. Mm. So there was the first week was when we had the protest. I think even in Vancouver, we did a protest like on the 18th, I think, or something like that. I don't know. There was one like at the city hall, like and they were all like peaceful and nice. And then after that, I put out the EP. And then after that, we threw another person. It was just like, it was weird. And I remember thinking, like, oh, should I move it? Like, should I postpone it to like a different time? Or like, what do I do? And like, just in talking to other people who were explaining to me, like, it's still, music still has its relevance regardless. And like, those who want to listen to it will listen to it when they can listen to it, kind of thing. And that's basically what happened. But I remember it was like a very confusing time for me, because also emotionally, like I wasn't there as well. Like I was with people in Nigeria, and I really felt for what we were going through, like as a nation and as a people, and just the ways that people were dying and the police brutality and all that. So it was just like, yeah. But I think maybe that's why a lot of Nigerians actually in particular lean towards the Peak song. When I put it out, a lot of them really liked that one, and that's the one that they kept talking about and reposting and things like that. But yeah, so it was a crazy year, but I think if there's any indicator, like looking back, it just shows me that we have the capacity and the strength to make it through difficult times and trying times, like just when we stay with the community, when we stay connected, when we just give ourselves a break when we need to. I know I did lots of that last year, and then just get back up once we feel ready. So it definitely, like, I think one thing for sure, like leaving that year and coming into this year, knowing that the pandemic is still on, I have a different approach to it. I have more of an approach of gratitude, just seeing like everything that's happened in the world in the past year and the amount of lives that have been lost. And just with all of that, I just have gratitude for today, gratitude for what I can do. And I'm just like focusing on that and trying to be the best that I can be and not worrying too much about the things that haven't worked out the way that I want them to, because they will eventually. And even with the music, like I believe very strongly that it will take off when it's supposed to, in the way that it's supposed to. And I just have to be diligent, put my head down, and just keep moving forward and working hard. So yeah, man. Yeah. Wild times.
That's good. I think that's a good lesson to get from the pandemic and the protests and NSARs.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with someone recently and I was just like, yeah, I'm afraid of police. And it was like, we were dealing with a situation where like we were debating needing to call police. And what in this situation you're scared of? I'm like, I'm scared of the police in every situation. Okay. Okay. This person wasn't black. All right. This person was white. And I was
just, okay.
And you know, he was like, I told him about what, I don't know if you're aware of what happened at SFU with the alumni.
Yes, I'm aware.
So I told him about that, and he was like, well, why didn't he sue the police? And I'm like, sue the police?
Sue the police? Okay.
Not everybody got entertained.
It's like, okay.
I told him, I was like, you know, because not everyone has the same socioeconomic status as you do. And he was like, oh, that's so terrible. And I'm like, yeah, you're mad right now, but, you know. This is something
it's facts.
Keeps happening.
It's true, it's, keeps
and you know, it doesn't help. And you're like, oh no, not the RCMP. They're different. America's different. It doesn't help.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that's why even when Black Lives Matter came along this year, I noticed people weren't, well, I know I for sure wasn't as engaged as I was in the past, because I think people were just exhausted from having to educate so many people last year and having to like get people up to speed.
Do it again, like another
year. So I feel like when the Black History Month came along, I just found that not a lot of people were posting about it or talking about it. There weren't a lot of like seminars or stuff like that. And I think people were just exhausted. It's like, it's been a crazy year. It's like now people should know what they need to do. Like if you want to learn about how to amplify underrepresented voices, you should know there's more than enough information out there from like the crazy things that we went through last year. It's not, unless you're living under a rock with no Wi-Fi, like you should know.
Everyone's tired, and it's like at this point, if you don't know how to, then you don't want to know how to.
Yep.
And then I don't know what you'll do it yourself at that point, but Godspeed. But yeah. I'm not, you know, it's such is life. Okay, Sarah.
Such is life, man.
Okay. Who's your favorite person to collab with? Or who would you like to collab with?
Who would I like to collab with? I don't know if I have one fixed person, but I do have like a few people that I like from different genres.
Yeah.
So like for like in the Afrobeats genre, I would love to collaborate with Adekunle Gold. And then more of the indie side, definitely Asha. And then on the R&B space and soulful space, oh man, there's so many people. But right now, I'm a huge fan of Lucky Day right now. And I would love to collaborate with him on something. Like he's really good, really talented. I really like Tiana Major as well. She wrote this song called Collide from this movie Quinn and Slim, and I really like her voice. She's really talented out from the UK. And then in terms of producers, like I really love Pharrell. I really love his style of songwriting, and I'd love to collab. Ooh, and Snow Allegra, that's another lady that I'm a huge fan of right now.
Yes.
She's so talented. Oh,
she's
gosh,
so talented. And her voice is just so Good.
It's so rich, so good. Pharrell, definitely, for sure. Because, like, I'm just imagining, like, trying to combine, like, an Afro-soul meets, like, R&B thing with him. He would just be, like, incredible. And I love that he has a good knowledge of music theory as well, because it just makes him, like, even a more amazing artist. So I ended up saying, like, five people.
That's okay. I was going to ask, within, like, the Vancouver music community, do you have somebody that you would like to, or, like,
within the Vancouver music community, there have been a few people that I've collaborated with and we're putting out music this year. So I'm very excited about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. And then another person that I would love to collaborate with is Kimordo. I don't know if you know her. And she goes by Kimordo the Artist. And she's very, very talented. Like, I've listened to a lot of her music and I'm like, I hear like my voice and like some of the things she does. And I'm like, maybe we should collaborate. But she's definitely like someone that I would love to like write a song with. And Desiree as well is another artist that I really like in Vancouver. She's more of like an indie style artist. And I'd love to collaborate with her as well. Really beautiful voice. So yeah, and then we're gonna songwrite. Hey.
Yes, we are. We're thinking, on that note, you know, do we have any new projects, any new events coming up?
I do. So I have a remix to Peak that's coming out next week Friday. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's like a dance hall vibe. The 26th of March. And then there's a lot of collaborations in the works for this year that I am excited about. I think a lot of them would probably start coming out as the year like moves along. And there's like a separate group that I've created that's like a strictly Afro soul collective, and I'm very excited for what we're putting out this year as well. We've recorded some tunes and done a photo shoot to promote those tunes, so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that drop, because it's a different sound. Well, not too different, but a bit different. I'm excited about it. What else? Yeah, I think it's just a lot of those collaborations. It's funny, like many of them I recorded them already and sent them off. So I'm like, okay, what else is coming? But yeah, there's lots of collaborations this year. That's the year. It's the year of collaborations for sure.
That's good. Build a
sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with all the collaborations and all the stuff from last year, where do you see yourself at the end of this year? Musically, at least, if the broad spectrum is too broad.
Honestly, musically, I'm just like, I mean, it depends on if we're still in a pandemic.
That is true.
Because after the pandemic, I know I definitely want to go on a tour. I would love to do that and just like arrange all of the different songs that I've put out for a tour, which would be a lot of work. And I think that would probably be like my next project, but that would depend on where we're at in the world. So if we're still on lockdown by that time, then I just see myself writing a lot more music, putting it out there, or some of it giving to other people, because songwriting is something that I want to dive into a lot deeper. And I want to write songs for other artists as well. So I think that's something that I'm going to be diving into more and more this year, and then wait till the lockdown is up so that I can finally play some music in some scenes outside of, hopefully even outside of Canada as well. Like, that would be the goal for sure. Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully the panorama stops.
I know.
The vaccine. Notice how I haven't called this a pandemic this whole interview.
Panorama.
So I think I've asked all my questions and you've been lovely. But thank you so much. It's such a fun interview. It was nice chatting with you. And I'll let you know when the interview's out. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you. Bye.
I've been trying to calm my mind for a very long time, yeah. Anxiety gets the best of me when I try real hard, yeah. Pray to the Lord to help me. Pray to the Lord to free me from this. Sometimes I really wanna be the best that I can be, yeah, yeah. I don't wanna lose myself in emotion. I just want your love.